We're actually going to talk to Tom Ackerman, sports guy, over at our next-door neighbor, Camo X, here a little bit. I picked up one of those baseball magazines, you know, preseason things, because I'm a nerd. Guess who's favored to win the NL Central?
Is it us?
Cardinals.
Yay! Yes.
Favored to win the NL Central. Here, just ahead, right after the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk to Brenda Talent from the Show Me Institute. School choice, expanding school choice and educational opportunities in our state is being held up by Republicans.
I'm excited about this. This is not an issue I'm very up on, so I'm glad that we're going to get into it a little bit further.
Yeah, so we're going to tell you what's being held up and, frankly, why it's so frustrating that this expansion of opportunity for young people is running into a roadblock by, frankly, now Brenda's not going to get into the party thing on it, but to me, it's just frustrating because the Republicans could make this happen if they really wanted to. And they're not doing it. What's the appropriate response if somebody slams an egg into the back of your head? Okay, so we're going to pick up where we left off here just a minute ago in Australia. And this has become a worldwide video kind of sensation. A 17-year-old kid goes up to one of their senators, member of parliament, takes an egg in his hand and hits the guy in the back of the head.
People are getting attacked in their own
smack. By the way, that second smack and that third smack was the senator turning around and hitting the kid. Open hand, right upside the head. And then a bunch of people jumped in and, and pulled the senator back and then took the kid down. Was the senator justified in hitting the kid? I am inclined to say, yeah. We're seeing more of this kind of thing, you know, in the U.S. and other parts of the country. Maybe at some point when kids throw rocks at you, you pick them up and throw them back. Especially if we're talking about... You know, we're talking about older kids, you know, kids who should know better. And I don't know if it's mommy and daddy not disciplining them. I don't know if it's a sense of entitlement. I don't know if it's just the virtue signaling saying, I am so angry about my activism. I have a right to do whatever I want to you. What do you
but
think?
But you can't do anything back to me.
Right.
Well, he took that chance and he lost.
Right. I still think you've got somebody in a position of power, older. This guy's going to fare worse than the kid would. He's worse off after hitting him, no matter how badly we all wanted to hit him.
Yeah. And I saw the video, and I'm like, I really would have wanted to hit the kid, too.
And I may have, like Denise said, your first reaction, but that second hit.
Yeah, the second hit's my problem.
I probably definitely would have hit him once. I really probably would have. And honestly, it was that it was a slap. It's not like he doubled up his fist and punched the kid in the mouth, which is probably what I'd have been tempted to do. But I don't know, 866-455-9797. Let's start off with Paul. Hey, Paul, you're on the Mark Cox Morning Show. Was the senator justified in hitting this 17-year-old?
Morning. I have to say, absolutely. I personally feel that the kid, he came up from behind the guy, didn't have the kahunas to stand eye-to-eye and toe-to-toe, let the senator know he's coming. That's no different, in my opinion, than shooting somebody in the back. And we all know that's nothing but a coward that does such a thing. The senator, he reacted. There's a knee jerk because something hitting from behind, right? Quite frankly, I think the senator had every right to really lay into the kid. I think the kid's lucky he only got open hand slapped. I think the kid is a product of our schools in our country. I know he's not from here.
No.
We have that same problem with bullies in schools. If a child in school stands up to a bully, he gets punished by being suspended. That's the kids and generation today, because that's what we've raised. Bullies should be stood up to, and that's all this kid did. He did a coward move because he didn't feel there were consequences, and he's lucky he didn't get a lot worse.
All right. Hey, Paul, good call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Ross. You are on the Mark Cox Morning Show. Ross, was the senator justified? I don't have Ross.
I think Ross is still on the
Ross
phone.
Ross is still on the phone
Zach
in there.
All right,
when he makes it through the system, we'll talk to Ryan. I guess the bigger picture, like I said a couple minutes ago, is a lot of times these things are done with some kind of immunity because people just assume, well, they're not going to do anything back. They can't do anything back to me. Now, this is a scrawny little kid. Denise, you
who had his egg in his phone ready to go.
Right.
Waiting for a reaction.
And hitting him from behind, I mean, you don't know what he has or doesn't have. I mean, if you're willing to walk up and hit somebody in front of all these people, what are you dealing with? Mm-hmm. Now, I will concede the point, Denise, that after the first smack, there was no question who would win. And by the way, that kid did try to throw a punch back at the senator.
Yeah.
Which he's really probably, even though the kid got roughed up pretty good by whoever it was that was standing right there, he's actually probably fortunate that they got in between and took him down, because mm-hmm. I have a feeling that senator probably would have just beat the crap out of him. I know nothing about Senator Frazier Anning. I don't know anything about him. I don't know anything about his politics other than what he's said that made people mad. So I don't know if he's somebody that you'd want to hit. But to me, that's kind of irrelevant. This isn't how we send our messages. This isn't how we send our signals. And before you think I'm being a snowflake and PC and all that kind of stuff, I'm really not. This does not end well if we do not put a stop to this kind of, you know, violent. And it is by definition violent. You know, was anybody in danger of getting hurt? No, not really. But the thing is it,
next time it's not going to be an egg, though.
Right.
You're still attacking
else.
Somebody.
It'll be a club. Yes. It'll be a flashlight. It'll be something along those lines. But
I have this video up on the blog, by the way. While we're
great.
If people have a chance, go to 971talk.com/Cox and you can watch
you can
it and
check it out.
Give us a call.
Comment, yep. Call us, tell us what you think about that. Let's get to Ross. Ross is with us now. Okay, Ross, was the senator justified in hitting the 17-year-old kid?
Senator Slapper?
Yeah.
Absolutely. If someone comes up from behind you there, I don't think you turn around and ask them for their ID before you retaliate.
Yeah.
You go ahead and you take care of it. But maybe after the first slap, you kind of recognize the child and you back off. But he didn't really have time because they jumped in and took care of it. But yeah, that's all I had to say. So thank you for taking my call and have a great day.
Have a good one,
you
Ross.
Too.
Appreciate that. So yeah, okay. So we're seeing a consensus on that. I mean, I don't know if you're really mad that somebody did this, because not only is it just a trying to send a violent message, although I say that by denotatively saying violent, because it is somebody hitting somebody else. He wasn't trying to give him a concussion. I get that. He was trying to humiliate him with egg all over the back of his head.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that was supposed to do. And, you know, we've seen this, for instance, I've seen people trying to go to conservative conferences and things, and something about eggs, people throwing eggs at people. I've seen it at, you know, when we've seen everything from protesters on a college campus all the way up to the other side of this, which is your Antifa cockroaches who are truly violent. But again, this doesn't end well if we don't get a handle on it. And these people, these protesters, don't figure out.
People are going to turn around and maybe take a swing.
Yeah, somebody's going to hit you back.
Yeah.
You know, we're seeing an escalation from, you know, late 2015 when the presidential race really started up, you know, to the Trump campaign rallies where there was all kinds of protests. We've seen it in the St. Louis area. Everything from blocking traffic with protesters, which you do not have a right to do, to, mm-hmm. you know, people fighting against police officers, we're not going to settle differences of ideas with violence. And
we really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Have it turn out well. You know, is war necessary sometimes? Is violence necessary sometimes? Yes, it should be the absolute last resort, but this is not how you send your messages mm-hmm. by doing this.
Yeah.
And
it speaks
to
a bigger problem in society for sure.
And I think it's really, really sad how so many people are so excited to make this kid a hero and make this kid a victim when the fact of the matter is he's a jerk.
Yeah.
And I don't care what side of the issues he's on.
And was he really even an issue? Because it was more like, watch this, I've got my, I mean, it was about the getting attention.
Yeah, he's tweeted.
I mean, he had his phone ready to go. I mean, he's like.
Yeah, he's tweeted out that, you know, he's tweeted out that why he did it. This senator blamed New Zealand's immigration policies and allowing so many Muslims into the country as part of the reason for the mosque shooting, the mass shooting that happened out there. So that's what a lot of people are angry at him about.
Which is a whole nother thing.
Which is a whole
other like, why are we blaming anybody?
Let's take the worst case scenario. Let's take, you know, David Duke or whoever that other idiot is that somebody, that walks up and just punches him in the mouth on the side of the street or something like that. I can't remember the guy's name. Is the white supremacist guy. I forgot. I don't know.
Keep up on my white supremacist.
Right. I don't remember his name, but he was out there. Somebody was interviewing him and somebody just walked up from behind and hit him. Okay. I agree that that's a pretty lousy human being, with really awful ideas. But what am I going to accomplish by walking up saying, I don't like what you think. I'm going to punch you.
Yeah, I'm never going to advocate for like assault, and I'm not. I don't think anybody can watch that and be on the side of the kid. Anybody with half of a brain,
but
could
so many
do
older.
That.
That's the problem.
The younger generation, yes, it is. It speaks to a more ingrained problem of entitlement. You've touched on it, but of entitlement and everything else in our society. Unfortunately, when you're an adult, you can't. Slap a kid twice.
And everybody's got their phone at all times.
It isn't yours.
So you just have to assume that somebody is recording you, and you have to assume that the entire story is not what's going to make it on Twitter. And that's...
Yeah, it'll be taken out of context, for sure. Everything is.
It always is. again, on this particular instance, I don't know what the rest of the senator's deal is on anything. On this particular one, I don't blame him. For hitting the kid.
I don't blame him either. I just think he's on the wrong side of it, unfortunately.
Right. Let's see if Patrick agrees with you. Hey, Patrick, you're on the Mark Cox Morning Show. Should the senator have hit the kid?
Yes.
Tell me why.
Well, because you just can't assault somebody without the repercussions. That's what's wrong with today's society is these kids don't think that they can... or that they think they can get away with whatever they want without any repercussions, number one. Number two, I think we should throw tomatoes and eggs at all of our senators and all of our congressmen. I feel that there's an injustice happening all around the world with a power structure with the elites, and we need to take it back. But you cannot hit somebody... or do something to somebody without a negative reaction happening to you. So I feel the senator was just, even maybe the second slap was just. But some people need to get the blank knocked out of them every once in a while.
I agree with all of that. I agree 100%.
To come back to a little snap of reality. Maybe their mom and dad didn't spank them on the butt, or somebody told them that they were great and they're really not that awesome of a person. It's the same thing with the Antifa hitting somebody with a lock in the head and no repercussions here in the United States. It's actually happening all over the world, but I just thought that it was funny that we should probably really throw a tomato at Nancy Pelosi or McConnell when he gets up and when they start talking stupid,
Well, I'm not going to advocate
throwing at them.
Yeah, I'm not going to advocate throwing stuff at them, but I'll definitely advocate speaking out against them. Appreciate that call, Patrick.
Right there. As much as you want to throw something at Nancy Pelosi, you don't, because there are also consequences to the consequences, and you know better.
Right, and that would be doing the same thing that this kid was doing to this person.
Correct, but it would also be poor judgment like the senator used in slapping a kid twice.
Yeah. All right. Let's shift on that happy note. Let's shift to the presidential race. 2020 is getting to be a very crowded field for the Democrats, in particular. Rachel Sutherland from Fox News Radio joining us now. And Rachel, now we have a failed U.S. Senate candidate who says, I'm ready to be president.
Oh, you must be speaking of Beto O'Rourke.
I am, yes.
Well, there's been others getting in. Well, there's been Kirsten Gillibrand, who officially got in, although I thought she was already running, but she made it official over the weekend. Beto O'Rourke made it official on Friday morning. He actually raised, though, $6.1 million in the first 24 hours in his campaign, which I think he beat Bernie Sanders on that. He's got a lot of star power. He's young. I believe he's 46 years old. But he hit the ground running, went to Iowa. I think he's in Michigan today.
Mm-hmm.
The other headline from the weekend as far as campaigning is former Vice President Joe Biden, who was headlining a dinner in Delaware, and said something to the effect of, I have the most progressive record of anyone running for the, and he paused, anyone who would run. He kind of hung his head and did a symbol to cross. He's Catholic, and the crowd went wild. So I really think that Joe Biden will be getting in, but I thought it was interesting he also said that he has a progressive record, because you would think of Joe Biden as being more of a centrist rather than a progressive.
Well, and that's an interesting dynamic that we're seeing already, is it's not just that, I mean, every presidential election, you've got, for the most part, Republicans running as far to the right as possible in the primary, then running back to the middle in the general, Democrats, you know, going to the left as far as possible, then back. I'm getting the feeling that on the Democratic side, that they are simply saying, we're going to run as far to the left, as unapologetically big government and socialist as we possibly can, and we're going to stay there in the general election. I would be really surprised with most of these candidates if they try to play the, you know, whoever gets the nomination, that they're going to try, maybe other than Tulsi Gabbard, that they're going to try to play the, you know what, I'm going to bring people together. I think they're going to make the case that we're right, the other side's wrong, let's defeat those people.
Well, it's interesting, yeah, that they seem to be shaping up that way. I was at the Conservative Political Action Conference a couple of weeks ago, and their conservatives were making the point that 2020 is going to be a choice between capitalism and socialism, that there really isn't a middle ground. I mean, unless Howard Schultz really makes a go of it, there's really nobody. I thought that Joe Biden might be that middle ground candidate, but after he said that, questions were popping up in my mind. And I think there are some people who feel maybe a little politically homeless because they don't identify with this far left philosophy. Maybe they're not completely on board with President Trump. So there's not a whole lot of choices for people who want moderation out there.
Yeah, I hear a lot of people say, I want a moderate candidate. And I ask this as a, you know, a legitimate question, for at least from my perspective, what's better about being moderate compared to being liberal or conservative? Other than some people just say, I'm not as far to the right or far to the left as somebody else is. I mean, I'm a pretty, you know, unapologetic conservatarian kind of guy myself. So there are issues I don't want people to compromise on. But governing means you look at everybody's viewpoint. Some things are right. Some things are wrong. You don't compromise. Other things, you've got to work with people from different perspectives. I'm not seeing that with the majority of the candidates on the Democratic side. And we know President Trump isn't exactly leading with the, hey, let's compromise and go have a beer together.
Yeah, I think that the folks that I talk to, and this is not scientific polling at all, this is more anecdotal, but a lot of people I talk to just say, yeah, I'm conservative on these issues and I'm liberal on these issues, you know, and it doesn't seem like there's a box to put them in. And I think that there's a lot of, they may describe themselves as more libertarian. Maybe they think pot ought to be legalized, but yet they're fiscally conservative. I mean, there's a lot of people who don't necessarily fit into one side or the other. And I think that that makes it, that's maybe what they mean when they're talking about a moderate, as opposed to, somebody who's just lukewarm. It's somebody who would maybe embrace a lot of different, ideas, but you can't please all the people all the time. And I think that you're right in that both sides are going to be hard charging away from each other.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe more eggs are unfortunately going to be smashed in the back of more people's heads. I hope not, but who knows? All right. Rachel Sutherland from Fox News Radio. People can keep up with you at Sutherland Fox on the Twitters.
Thank you.
Hey, good talking to you, Rachel. Thank you so much. Still ahead. Just ahead. Brenda Talent from the Show Me Institute. Are we going to increase opportunities for children in our state with additional school choice? Well, if some Republicans, I said Republicans, if some Republicans have their way, the answer to that is no. We'll explain just ahead. You know, there are a few things we take as personally as our children's education, as we should. You know, my kids, when they were going to grade school and middle school and high school, all I wanted was the best education I could get for my kids, as every parent wants for their kids. So in our state legislature, I'm talking about the Missouri side here, there are some proposals to expand school choice, because there's limited school choice in just Kansas City and St. Louis here. But for the rest of the state, your school choice basically is accumulate enough money to move somewhere else if you don't like what you've got. So there has been a proposal for what most people call an education savings account. I think they call this an empowerment savings account that would basically allow people to donate money, tax deductible. Families and kids could apply for the money to take these tax deductible gifts and use them for other education purposes other than the traditional public schools. And it's been filibustered in the state Senate. And you think, okay, well, Republicans like school choice and Democrats don't like school choice. And so, you know, that's the one weapon of the Democrats. But no, this is the majority party. Republicans are stopping school choice, and they have vowed to do it again until they, I don't know, maybe run out the clock for the session. Mm-hmm. But the argument is that philosophically, they don't want more school choice competing with your traditional public schools. Brenda Talent is the CEO of the Show Me Institute, which, hey, by the way, I've got a day job and I go there like during the week. Hey, Brenda, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
Oh, well, now that I've got a few cups of coffee, I don't have to get up this early for the Show Me Institute. But
gosh,
yeah.
I thought you worked 24/7 for us.
That's true. Well, I kind of do. You'd be surprised at how often my phone rings late at night and early morning.
Say, when you're working for Liberty, you're working all the time. So there you go.
I love that quote. And when you hear that we're not talking about, expanding charter schools statewide in this particular proposal. We're not talking about, direct vouchers in this particular proposal. We're talking about people being able to donate money, take a tax credit for it, and allow families to have some kind of choice, and lawmakers filibuster this thing.
Yeah, it's very, very disappointing. You know, it's not as if we're leading the way in this area. There are 19 other states that have these types of programs. There are 43 states that have charter schools, which are more expansive than ours. So here's where I am, Mike. You know, we are unwilling to expand charter schools. We want to keep them in the two cities. We're always trying to avoid implementing programs that have been passed, such as course access. We're dragging our feet on implementing course access. And, you know, we won't even give special needs kids these education savings accounts when we acknowledge the fact that they need different educational choices. So here's where I'm at. I want us to put that cliche that we hear from every policymaker about, well, it's for the kids. No, it's not. What it is it's for the status quo. When we heard it on the floor of our Missouri Senate on Friday, when people would talk about, well, this is going to hurt the public schools. Well, let's see. Last time I looked, these buildings are pretty difficult to hurt. It is all about keeping the status quo. It's not about giving opportunity to kids. And that's what I want to hear from people who care about this state and about the citizens of the state. I want to hear about what they're going to do to help the children and the parents so that these kids have a real opportunity in life. And by the way, we have a governor who keeps talking about, well, it's workforce development. I don't know. I'll say it till I'm blue in my face. You know, workforce development begins at K-12. And when we can't even give this type of option to parents, we are definitely going to be heading backwards as a state, not forwards.
Now, you're absolutely right about the argument against it, saying, well, this would take funding away from the traditional public school system. And there's also, and a lot of people may not know this about Brenda, but her specialty is tax law. And then one of the arguments, Brenda, and I want to tap into your expertise on this, saying, well, but, you know, these tax deductions you can take for something like this, that's going to hurt our state's general revenue. And we're just so tight as it is. That's another argument being made to justify blocking more opportunities for our kids.
Well, first, we actually have a study out on this by James Scholes that shows that to the extent that you're moving children, and by the way, children move all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they move out of state, they go to a different school district. But so school districts are constantly adjusting the monies that they're giving based upon the students in their building. But we actually showed that it ends up giving money to the schools because there's a state component and a local component. This would only be affecting the state component of it. So you as a locality.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Will still end up being ahead of the game. So you can take a look at the numbers. The numbers don't lie. But the other thing that I find really incredible here is, again, I mentioned all the states that have these other choice options available. Have you heard about any of them having public schools that just shut down?
Not that I've heard of.
I haven't heard about that. No. In fact, choice brings competition. It really makes the public schools stronger. And in the end, if, again, I go back to the basics, first of all, the statement that it's going to hurt our public schools is wrong. But even if there were an element of that is true, if it would help the children have opportunities to be better educated, why aren't we willing to explore these options? And that's what really gets me. And bottom line is, you talked about the money. I say, yeah, follow the money. But don't think of it as following the money to benefit the kids. It's following the money to keep the status quo in place. It's meant to fund these buildings, fund whoever is within their district, because I can guarantee you that the public school apparatus is saying, you cannot let any money leave our pockets.
Yeah, that's pretty much. My wife and I were talking about this last night, Brenda, and she was looking at a Twitter debate as to whether or not charter schools or ESAs were the best route for improving education. And the argument was, no, we should do this and not that. My position is, why aren't we doing both or all? Why are we limiting the creativity and the options that we can do for school choice?
I'm absolutely with you on that. You know, we've got school systems that right now in the state of Missouri are saying that they're graduating, it's like 90% of the kids or something. I mean, it's a huge number. We have more than 98, 99% of the school districts that are accredited. And yet, at the same time, we see test scores that show that these students are not college ready. And we know, because we see it happening in our colleges, that they're not, that they're dropping out, and they're dropping out with huge debt and the inability to really have gainful employment, which will help them take care of that debt. So it's sort of like, when you've got a situation like that, isn't it all hands on decks, all options on the table? And of course, one of the things we don't talk about enough is the importance of having the choice to determine your child's education. People who can move do that all the time. A lot of parents don't have that ability. And so when you as a parent are getting engaged in making those choices, it's going to make a world of difference just in your quality of life and what's happening in that child's life. I mean, again, the information, the studies out there are pretty uniform. We see in Indianapolis, children who are going to the charter schools are getting advances in their education ahead of those in the public schools. I would say, doesn't mean that all of these things are going to work. It doesn't guarantee that every child is going to end up being able to go to college and graduate in 4 years. But the other side of this is that when you give parents the options, they can choose to move their child also. And charter schools do close. I mean, it's sort of like when you go through the whole litany of what choice is about. It is about having competition and about giving people options, so that they can figure out what works best for them.
Yeah, we're talking with Brenda Talent from the Show Me Institute. And Brenda, this is the one area we should be able to remove politics entirely from the equation. And politics is what's holding back any kind of progress. In Indianapolis, you just mentioned, the local public school district embraced the charter school as part of the offerings of the kids. And that's one of the reasons they're having such good responses out there. All right, Brenda Talent, people want to be in touch. You mentioned James' article, James Scholl's article, showmeinstitute.org, and of course at Twitter, at showme.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you. Brenda Talent from the Show Me Institute. If you have some thoughts on that, let me know. 314-241-9797. or 866-455-9797. By the way, it's Senator Gary Romine and Senator Doug Liebla who are blocking additional school choice in our state. They're both Republicans. I'm Mike Ferguson, in for Mark Cox on FM News Talk 97.1. It's sad because I love especially the old school Motley Crue. What happened, Vince? Come on, Nikki, you should have been the leader and put a stop to it. Tommy, we understand. You're weird. Mick, we got to have mercy. All right. Gunnery Sergeant Jesse Jane Duff heading our way just right after the top of the hour. 866-455-9797. Should the Senate have stuck with the president on his emergency declaration? We'll talk about that just ahead.